one of the things that occurred to me when looking back over your work over all these years is that you definitely bring your social activism into your music. And I know there's some musicians who, it's not a given that you would do both. You know what I'm saying? You could be socially conscious and an activist and maybe not do that with your music or mm-hmm. vice versa. So I guess my question in this is, when bringing that social activism into your songwriting, how do you find the balance between making sure that you articulate your position and your feelings and your beliefs, also making sure you have a great song? Mm-hmm. Because you do it very well. You know what I'm saying? The songs stand up in and of themselves musically. Do you, I mean, is that something you're even conscious of, trying to strike that balance?
Yeah, it's very, very hard to write I'll call one a protest song, or Amy's very good at it. I'm not as good. I mean, I wrote like a song like Hammer and a Nail that's, you know, kind of like a pop get to work song, get out of your head and get to work in the world. Mm-hmm. But the balance is very, very difficult to achieve.
It's really hard. I remember I think like there's two kinds of songs. There's like the songs that are like really specific to a specific issue. Like when Rage Against the Machine would do a lot of songs about Zapatistas and different, you know, things they were talking about, globalization, and they were so good at it, you know. And I actually think hip hop and rap is a really good arena for that, because it's spoken, it's like a way, it's just a way that you can be didactic in some ways. Mm-hmm. And if you're good at it, then it works.
Yeah.
Folk songs are harder to do that in, because mm-hmm. You come off as being overly earnest and overly preachy.
Yeah.
But I think like then there's songs like We Shall Overcome that can be sung in any context in a protest that are amazing songs to have in our, you know, arsenal of protest songs.
Yeah.
And to write one of those is, it's almost impossible. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like the thing you want is to write like a new song that's a new protest song mm-hmm. that can grab people, that's simple but strong, and you could sing it in Standing Rock, but you could also sing it at the WTO protest, you know, mm-hmm. years ago or whatever. You yeah. know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, how do you do that? I don't know. It's
yeah.
beyond me.
Yeah.
But it is a goal.
Women can't really get away with it. They're just immediately branded as what Amy is saying, as earnest. And especially if you write one with an acoustic guitar, forget about it.
Like, huh.
But if you're a man, you can get away with it more easily. I really believe that.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, the Indigo Girls. I want to go a little bit deeper into songwriting, and I know you talk about this endlessly. I'm always interested in melody and what informs your sense of melody when you're writing a song.
Wow.
Whoa.
I have no idea. I mean, I really feel like the content oftentimes informs the melody or the chord progression, but there's really no rules to it, because you can write a song and change your chords and just keep your melody pretty, pretty simple and have chord movement underneath, and it has a different sort of emotional impact than a melody that's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I don't know, Amy, do you have any thoughts on that?
Melody is like my goal. Like, I want to be better at that. I think Emily's got the melody thing. It's like innate sometimes. And I think it's hard to learn how to write melody. I mean, honestly, I listen to a lot of Burt Bacharach when I want to like figure out like.
See, I think that's
it's
this
like,
is really cool.
Burt Bacharach is so, like, that's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff, right? Uh-huh. And then also like Hank Williams Sr., like people that could play three chords and sing a melody over it that didn't feel like just three chords. The Carter mm-hmm. family was good at that as well. And some of those early songwriters that wrote sort of in Tin Pan Alley that just did all that. The melodies are just, like, you can rotate, the melody kind of rotates and comes back around to itself, and then it's just like, how did they make that work? And I study it, and I don't know how. I just think melody's so hard. But, like, it's true, like, Mitchell Froom, one of our producers, showed me this one time, like what Emily's talking about. You can take your melody and rearrange all the chords underneath it, and it shifts how your melody sounds, and it's a good trick to start learning how to develop your melodies in a better way, I guess, because it shows you just the effect of the chords, and mm-hmm. it may draw you to go a different place too. So he showed me that, and that's helped me a lot. But oh my God, it's like the melodies to me is so, well, I covet a good melody, but I have yeah. such a hard time with it.